How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey everyone, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is Season 7 of Better Let Me Tell You.
So today with us, we have, you know, look, he's an actor. Sure, he's an actor. But before he's an actor, he's a Miami boy. He was one of the first people that we started engaging with on social media when we started this crazy podcast thing. And it is the immense of levels of joy that I have talking to him and seeing his success and career growth from those initial, you know, just like, bro, I love your stuff. I like your stuff. And here we are actually having him on the show. I want to welcome, you know, Christian Ochoa Lavernia. Dude, I feel like it's been such a damn long time coming to have you on the show. So welcome.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man. The pleasure is mine. I love you guys. It's like being away from Miami all the time. And I haven't lived in Miami since 2013. Like, I love to follow and I love engaging with people that bring me a slice of home. And you guys do that to the umpteenth power. So yeah. I love. Feel like when I watch you guys, I'm back home, con mi gente, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, we carry our culture with us wherever we go, you know. And I know you've been working a shit ton, which is a blessing, bro. You are what's they say hashtag booked and blessed, you know. It's
booked and blessed, you know? Actors life, hashtag actors life.
Yeah, but I mean, I want to take it back. And first of all, I just want to say, doing a little research on you, found out that you and I, a couple years apart, just a couple, you're only slightly younger than me, but we almost have the same birthday.
When's your birthday?
I'm August 6th.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's my dad's birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
My best friend's the 8th. I have a bunch of Leos all over.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we're either going to really get along in this interview or it's going to turn into like a battle royale for superiority. I don't know how it's going to end by the time this conversation
for attention?
Yes. Well, in that case,
I got super tranquil. I'm Virgo rising.
Okay, so
I'm a chill Leo. I'm a chill Leo. You're good.
Well, you're an actor, so you've already beat me in terms of the fighting for attention. Like that's a given. But I was looking, you know, and look, I always preface this by saying I find all this information online, and God knows if it's right or not. But your IMDb page does say that you actually studied political science, and then the favorite that we love to bring up here on this show with Cuban parents, Ebini Administration. Is that true?
I did. Yeah, at FIU. Like, So I did theater growing up a bunch, and then I had to, in high school, I had to make a decision. I was doing drama and I was playing baseball, and okay. they made me, listen, you can't do both. This is when we're hard. You got to choose one. At that point of my life, I was an athlete. I'm like, no, baseball it is. I go to college, and I had it, you know, drama had been something I had a passion for and loved, but I couldn't really commit to it unless it was like little skits here and there at school, you know?
So what school did you go to?
We always ask. I'm like, okay, I got to do it. You know, Felix Varela. I was the first class of Felix Varela, like the first year it opened was my freshman year of high school, and then all the way through. The official first class of Varela, which is in Kendall.
Yep.
And I'm the official class of Howard Doolin Middle School, too. First year was my sixth grade year. So, like, my middle school, high school were, like, brand new schools. So, like, we set the tone. So I went to Varela, and then I went to FIU, you know, the sensible thing. Like, you know, like, grew up single mom. I'm like, okay, well, no, I can't, you know, fantasies are fantasies, but I got to get to work. So I did political science with the idea that I was going to be a lawyer. And then when time came around, do I go to law school? Do I do my LSAT? And I started taking the exams for it. I'm like, I don't think I want to do this. And then, of course, like, you're like, what, no, MBA? I got to keep going to school because, you know, of course, back home, you know, in the U.S., it's like, I got to keep on getting into debt so that I can have a future. So then I went to get my MBA. So I got my international MBA at FIU. Back when you 2011, 2010, something like that. Which, you know, was basically getting your master's and learning how to use Microsoft Excel. Right. Is what I thought it was. It was one of those things. And, you know, I still didn't have a clear vision of what I wanted to do. I had a great job at the time. I was working for a construction company doing business development, and I was on the field. It was really cool, but it wasn't my thing. And it wasn't until I moved for that job back in 2011, 2012-ish, where I was like, I would go to the movies. I lived in Cleveland, Tennessee. There was nothing to do other than go to the movies.
I didn't know there was a Cleveland in Tennessee.
Right, exactly. So it's pretty close to Chattanooga. Exactly. Small town, nothing to do. You go to Walmart, the Mexican restaurant, you play golf, or you go to the movies. I am Puli like 30 minutes away, so sometimes I go get my Puli sub fix, you know? And that was not all the time. There was a Kroger there, which is like their little supermarket. I don't know if you know
Kroger. I do know Kroger, yes.
So I go to the Kroger, pero Puli on special occasions. And then, yeah, I would go to the movies, and I would watch them, and I was like, why didn't I ever do that? You know, that's like, that's what I always fantasize about. Like, that's what I always, when I go jogging or I'm ever daydreaming, it's about being in a movie. That's where I really, you know, I think I excelled. I made people laugh when I was growing up. I made my whole family laugh. So that's kind of what made the turn. I go, you know what? I'm going back home. Forget the degrees, forget everything. I'm going back home and I'm going to do this right. Study improv classes, whatever it is I have to do, you know, I'm going to do.
Wow. So you,
that's how I started.
So what I love about this story though, is that you essentially, like, again, we always joke on this on our show that, you know, whenever we talk to actors, especially Latino actors, especially Cuban American actors, that, you know, being an actor is just not a thing you propose to your immigrant family, right? Like, it's like, yeah, you know, we didn't come to this country for para que tú te metas a tita, right? You have to, and again, yeah. I love the fact that you actually got your master's in, you know, business administration, because it's like, you know, tienes que estudiar algo, you know.
Exactly.
But I love the fact that you were like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I did it, and I had a job, and I was doing well. It almost seems to me like you were saying to your parents, it's like, look, I gave it a shot doing it your way. Now I got to figure out my path.
Well, you know, it's funny. It wasn't even so much my mom, because I was raised just by my mom, single mom, and she's awesome. She's my best friend. She's my biggest supporter. And I think it was more my grandparents came with that idea. And my abuelo was always, he's passed now, para descanse, you know, and as they always say, pero he was more like, like I said, dentista, doctor, and all that stuff. And that was that whole, you know, single parent Cuban household, like, oh no, I gotta go to work. Y meterme los horas and y trabajar y coger esto. But my mom was super encouraging always. Like, she had a dream of being an actor when she was a kid. But she's like the first generation coming from Cuba. I was the first generation born in the U.S.
Okay.
To immigrants. Parents, and my mom had that dream that, of course, her parents were like, bro, what are you talking about? No,
not go to school, yeah.
Get married young, you know, like we all did. But my mom was so supportive to me. So when I actually, the night that I got home, I went to go see Mission Impossible, whichever one came out 2011, 2012. And I went to go see it and I drove home and I go, shit, I should have done that, man. Like, why did I just not do it? You know, I guess I always worried about what everybody else thought, as those Cubans kids do. Like, what was my family going to think? What are the people around me going to think that I'm going to just, you know, I went to school, I spent all this money, and all of a sudden I'm going to be an actor. But I call my mom and I go, what's the one thing you said I should have always done in my life? And she goes, be an actor. I go, fuck it. I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to do
wow.
it. I'm going to move back home and I'm going to figure it out. Right. And that's what I did. Yeah. I went back home. And the first person I call after my mom was, she's another actress. She went to ABC, Archbishop Carroll, Miami girl. She's a huge actress now. Her name is Amy Carrero.
I love she's Amy like, Carrero. I actually would. Yeah. I'm trying to see if we can figure out how to get her on the show. I adore her.
She's amazing. She's so her and I at FIU, we were in a thing called Model UN, Model United Nations. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, you've heard of Model UN before. It's like mock Model UN, and you go compete and Harvard, and FIU kills at that. Like, it's one of the best in the nation. And I did it for 2 years, and then I was in charge of the program for one. This is like my political science days.
Damn, son.
So I was like faculty advisor. We won. It was amazing. And Amy and I did it together my second year. So her and I were super close. But at this point, when I had made this decision in my life, she had already moved to LA. She had been already acting. She was on the show Young and Hungry.
Which I fucking love.
Yeah, she's incredible. It's so funny. So I call her. And I'm like, Amy, I want to do this. What do I do? And she's like, there's like a million ways to do it. And what I'm going to tell you doesn't mean it's going to work. Doesn't mean like if you follow these steps, you will be an actor. But I think these are your best steps forward. And I did exactly what she told me to do, like to the T. Like I went to get the agent, went on headshots first, do classes, find an agent. Fast forward, I remember her saying when I finally moved to LA and we had dinner, she goes, you know, everybody, a lot of people have asked me how to be an actor and how to do it. And I've sort of given them the same advice I gave you. She's like, everyone that's done it, like you did it. And like, she's like, look, here you are. Like you started off. So that was really nice. And Amy was amazing for extending that sort of, helping hand and advice. And she's so, I always thank her, and I always give her a lot of props because I feel like she was so helpful in the beginning. You need that in the beginning when you start acting. Yeah. You know, you need that. You need somebody to give you a helping hand, you know?
No, that makes total sense. And, you know, also this is a great ad for the Amy Carrero School of Acting that apparently you're going to start for her because it's great to have that, right? It's like, it's those people that you feel comfortable with. And it's funny because I think, again, as a fellow Leo, we don't always want to take other people's advice because we know what we're doing.
We know it all.
Right?
We
know what we're doing. But I think that when we do take someone's advice, that says a lot about that person because that means we 100%. Trust them.
1,000%.
And it 1,000%. Absolutely, you know, wound up being the case with you. So I will tell you, one of the first things that I, you know, especially after we had connected, as you know, from the podcast and all that, initially way back when, one of the first things that I saw you in was actually an episode of Will and Grace.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I remember distinctly seeing you in that episode and DMing you afterwards to thank you. You know, to thank you for just the way you played that part. You had to do everything. You know, it was a sitcom, so obviously you had to be funny. But, you know, the storyline, if I remember it correctly, was, you know, a closeted ball player. Mm-hmm. And you know, you played your scenes against Eric McCormick, and again, mm-hmm. you know, as a gay Cuban American from Miami, I want to thank you for that because I felt I knew who you were, I understood you, I've known that person, and you know, you managed to communicate it in a way that just felt authentic to me, and I say that because it's like, I know where you come from. I know, you know, I know your background, right, as Christian, but I also know what it is to be that person. And if you did not do it, I'm not going to lie, I probably would have felt more disappointed than if anybody else had not been able to land it. thank you for that.
No, I you know, that was, to me, it's always so important. There's people who say they're allies, you know, and they're like, yeah, I support. But I think if you're going to be an ally to the LGBT community, and I'm not, I'm straight cis male. Right. I feel it's important for if you're going to ally, to do it right and to really represent your, you know, your fellow LGBTQ friends, right? So for me, when I saw that role, I jumped up and down, because I know that person just like you do as well, because we come from a very kind of like machismo background, right? Like my grandfather was a saint. He was the nicest man in the world, but he came from that background where, ay, no sea así porque, you know, no sea un poquito, you know, tranquilo. It's
like, sí, no sea mariquita. Like, I mean, let's, you know,
exactly.
Let's
use the word. No sea mariquita. To me, it's like, I know who that person is so well. So to me, it was important. And also to play it against the stereotype of what TV kind of portrays as a gay man, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like there was a sense of him that was sort of was guarding this secret. And he played this machismo role because that's who his dad wanted to be, and he explained it. But it was super, you know, it was very intimate, those scenes. Believe it or not, there was the funniness to it. But I think the humor wasn't so much in, like, trying to play for the humor. It was just, like, him kind of being raised being a dude and not knowing how to be a gay guy, you know. And Eric saying, you got so much to learn, you know. Like, he's like, I am so jealous of you. So to me, you know, that's not the first gay character I played. I played a gay character on Glow. I played a gay character, obviously, Will and Grace. Oh my God, there's more. And then, well, now we'll get into it on Halo. I'm playing another gay character named Danilo, and that's such a beautiful story too. And I think that it's another character that's against the stereotype of a gay man. He's just a real incredibly kind, healing person. So I think it's important, not just for, you know, if you have the opportunity as I think as a straight man to play a role like that and play it correctly and almost like give voice to your LGBTQ friends. Like my younger brother's, he's a gay man. He's married. And to me, like, I feel so much pride when I can play these roles. Mm-hmm. And he can watch him and be like, right, that's my bro, like, representing, you know. Like, I think that's important to me. It's always been about human rights and being consistent with just being a good fucking human, you know.
What a notion, right? What a concept.
What a notion. Just like, fucking everyone has the right to be happy and do what makes them happy. So that's just sort of my baseline for life. And if I can do that in a role, and if I can play roles that kind of represent the underrepresented, and then, you know, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And when we're going to get into, but I just want to mention, you know, a couple episodes ago, I interviewed ABC anchor Gio Benitez, also a Miami boy. He's GMA. Yeah. And
he's awesome.
And him and I talked about how we should start like Westchester Pride. You know, we if you listen to the interview, we routed the whole parade route. So I think, you know, based on this conversation, you will be the second year's Grand Marshal. You know, clearly Gio's got to be the first, you know, how those anchors. But, you know, I think, absolutely, yes, you'll be the second. So I'm going to pencil you in right now. You know, again, you've done so much. You know, Will and Grace, you did Dynasty, which I watched as well. You were Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm a total nerdy fanboy. What I do love is that you were saying earlier in high school you picked, you know, baseball over drama, and yet you were, you know, you play a ball player in Will and Grace. On pitch, you were also another ball player. So, like, you might have actually made the right choice at that moment to give you this, you know, this insight, right?
Yeah, that's actually a great question, because I felt like there was a part of me that didn't go on to play baseball. So there was a part of me that always, like, that felt like, you know, that missed opportunity and, like, the what if of, like, had I gone on and made it and done whatnot. But it's so funny, through my acting career, it's like, not only did I get to play a ball player, but I got to play a Cuban ball player that was a catcher, and that's what my position was. On the first time that a TV show ever had licensing to do actual Major League Baseball. So we were the San Diego Padres. My uniform was San Diego Padres. We played at Dodger Stadium. We at AT&T Park in San Francisco. We went, where else did we go? Oh, the Padres Stadium in San Diego. So, like, we were an actual team. So it's like, when I was out there, I was wearing the uniform. I was taking batting practice on the field. I was like, you know, when you see anything of us on the field throwing, that's us, like literally us, Mark Paul Gosselaar too, you know, Zach Morris, our guy. Like everybody was legit. So to me, it's like, it was unbelievable that I was able to like kill with Stone. Like I didn't make it to the majors, but I did in some way, you know? So that was absolutely incredible. And again, just like it, Hector and Will and Grace, you know, I knew that man. I knew that man. And Levan Duarte, I knew that man. Like, how many stories do I have growing up in Miami? You know, like, and he's there. That those are my cousins. I had cousins that came over on a tire, you know, like I knew that man. So to me, that was so important that I was cast. And what I'm going to do really quick, I'm going to segue if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to give props to another guy that you should get on your show, who's one of my closest friends, Jason Caneda. He's another Miami Cuban actor. His brother's Giancarlo.
Yep. Another guy that we're trying to get. Yep.
Jason is the man. I'll talk to Jason. I'll tell him, hey, oye, bye-bye, a poner las pilas. Jason, I'm going to say this story as quick as possible because we always do when we have a chance to because it's a beautiful story. But I was I had seen Jason in L.A., and he's like, I was walking my dogs, and he stops the car. I didn't know him, but he stops the car. He's like, hey, you from Miami? I go, yeah. He's like, yeah, me too. He's like, you used to work at an eating house? I go, yeah, yeah. I opened up the eating house with my friends. He's like, bro, I used to take girls on dates there all the time. And whatever, we exchanged numbers. We didn't call each other for a year. Typical Miami guys. But then I'm walking into an audition one day when it was for a Cuban role, wearing una guayabera. And he goes, hey, what's up, bro? Hey, whatever. So before we go in, he goes, hey, are you going in, bro? Are you going in for that pitch role for the catcher? He's like, dude, that's you, bro. That's you. You're the guy. I go, no, I haven't heard of it. He's like, tell your team, tell your manager, tell your agents. So I do. I call him. I go, listen, this role, Levan Duarte, esto lo otro. And they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to call. Within like the hour or two, I get the audition for the next day. I go into the audition the next day. Susan Vosh is a casting director. And she goes, oh, you're Christian. I go, what do you mean? She's like, your buddy was in here yesterday, Jason Canella. She goes, he could not stop talking. She's like, I got the guy for you. I have the guy that's perfect for this role. And she's like, but like you're auditioning for this role. He's like, yeah, I know, but this guy is the guy. Nobody does that. Like everybody fights for roles. Nobody calls each other and says, hey, there's something for you. Cause there's this, like, that's what I didn't like about LA. You know, it's really, everybody's in the industry and there's a lot of mal de ojo, you know, like you can't do well because then your friends are going to get, you know, but Jason's not that guy. And he's in an audition room when he just moved to LA too. He's not like, he wasn't at the point in his career where he was like, you know, like, ah, that guy can have that job. No, he needed jobs too. And he was telling this casting director, book him. So when I went in, they called me for a callback, and me, Jason, and some other dude got a callback. I got the role. Jason's manager, I don't know who called him, said, did you go to your audition and say, book that guy? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, why he got the job? And he's like, great. And they got mad at him. And he's like, look, if you don't like the way I do my stuff, that's how I am. Like, there's a space for everybody in this industry. That's Jason's way of thinking. Anyway, long story short, They gave him a role on the show as well. Even after that, they gave him a role. They're like, no, we want you to be on the show. And they gave him a really cool part. So Jason is the man for doing that. But let me tell you, not everybody does that. And I think there's this connection of the Miami Cubano, like that we have that sort of that esa energía, that like buena gente, like we want to do what's right for nuestro compadre, right? Like, dude, no, you're the guy, you know, and Jason and I have done that throughout our relationship. And I just wanted to give him, say this story, because I think it's so important to know that, how important that is, man, to support each other, you know?
You know what?
And he did.
We've always said that, like, Miami is very much a small town disguised as a big city, right? And based on on your stories, you know, that's what I'm seeing, is that we're not just saying it, it's actually true. But also,
yeah,
the fact that this is your interview and you've taken the moment to give props to literally two other people, to me, says a lot about who you are. you know. And again, I'm going to reiterate this. As a fellow Leo, we don't just give flowers to everybody. Like, it's not about other people, right? But to me, that honestly speaks volumes about how you were raised and who you are. Because, I mean, let's talk brass tacks, right? This is an interview to promote, you know, your projects, et cetera, and so on, right? I mean, that's what it is. But you have literally been like, no, I'm going to segue now to literally talk about how awesome these two other people are. And I have a feeling that as we continue, you're going to segue again to talk about like six other people who are awesome too.
Probably again. You know what? I had no idea this interview was about promotion. I thought we were going to talk about, oh yeah, Miami, where would you get your edas? And the answer is Islas Canarias, because I live like in Miami. That's where my family lives, right by Islas Canarias on 137 in Coral Way. I thought we were going to talk about the Miami experience. So for sure, I'll promote myself, bro, but I'm here for good times, bro. Whatever. I'm here for good times.
No. I hear you. Also, Oye, have you, now that you, because you brought it up, have you been to the new eating house?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at OnePeloton.com.
No, I haven't because I really haven't gone down there in a while. Like, I haven't been in Miami to just be tranquilo and hang out and stuff like that. Like, those are still my guys. Alex Casanova, who's one of the founders, and he's been there since the beginning. There's Giorgio and Alex. Those are the two. Giorgio's the chef, and Alex is sort of the business manager, if you will. We caught up in London. We caught up in London, like he was there and I was there and you know, it was awesome. And I love those guys, but I haven't been. My sister's been, she loves it. But no, I'm dying to go because like I started off from the very get-go of Eating House. That was when I moved from that construction job to Miami. I quit everything, and Giorgio was my big brother in my fraternity at FIU.
Okay.
So I reached out to him and I go, I'm starting acting. I need a restaurant job so I can have my days free to audition. He's like, well, dude, I just opened up a little pop-up restaurant called Eating House. And they were like 2-3 weeks in. And I go in and I got a job. And then from the get-go, from like literally when we were a pop-up, there was 3-hour wait outside. We would come in, we would put the artwork on the wall. Our water that we would give the guests was out of like one of those yellow and red igloo coolers. That in the middle of service, sweating in Papao, I have to go put ice and water in the back. Like, we started like grassroots from the ground up, crazy. And then we bought it out, remodeled it. So I was there for the first 2.5 years until I moved to LA. So I would love to go see what they've done, because like, it's incredible the growth of those guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, the new Eating House, I will say this, and it's going to sound like a backhanded compliment, but go with me. The new Eating House is great. It's great. I mean, the food is delicious, obviously, because you've got a hell of a chef. I mean, the food can never not be good, right?
Right.
But to me, it's not Eating House. It's because I literally live like a block away from the old Eating House.
Yeah, I know.
And so I miss that like cozy vibe, that like.
It was cozy. It was so cozy.
Like this
and
now.
And it was really. Yeah. It was done in a way that it was funny because you get the best Yelp like reviews, And then there were some Yelp reviews that were like, it was great, whatever. And it's like, you know, it's, but she's like, the staff is really young and they're like constantly laughing, whatever. And I was like, yeah, because we were a bunch of friends.
But that was awesome.
We were a bunch of friends. We were young. I was like 24. Georgia was like 26. So was Alex. So we were, we, you know, we built this thing to, you know, what we would do? We would finish service at the end of the night and stay there for another 2, 3, 4 hours playing FIFA, hanging out. Like, it was such a family unit. And I get it, but I understand you have to grow. You know, you can't. The Eating House was had its, the old location. Well, it wasn't very large. And I remember forever they didn't have a liquor license. So it was just beer and wine. You know, you want to grow. You want to do other things. And so it's, as Giorgio and Alex are growing up, you know, Eating House grew up with them, you know. So that I'm sort of proud of. But, like, yeah, like, I've seen pictures, and the place looks beautiful. It looks incredible. But, yeah, like, there's – I have so many memories in the old spot with, like, the Tetris wall, and they had, like, you know, Dwayne Wade figurines and Jordans and yetro otro. Like, it was, like, yeah, it was a really cozy feel.
Yeah, we did we did January 1st brunch a good 3 years in a row there. Because, yeah. Again, I live, like, a block away from the old spot. So it was, like – all right, it's right over there. We can get there a little later. It'll be fine. Yeah. You know, no craziness. So I do miss it. But speaking of growing up, you know, your career has also been, vaya, da pena, how much it's grown, okay? Like, honestly, like save some success for other people, sir, okay? You know, shit, you were, you for know, everyone, just man. Just last year, you were in a Guy Ritchie movie, The Covenant, yeah. You know, a Guy Ritchie movie, yeah. with Jake Gyllenhaal. And now you've got another Guy Ritchie movie, you know, on the horizon again with Jake Gyllenhaal. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Jake's been talking to Jason, and now they're just both recommending you for things, right? I'm assuming.
I would hope that's what it is. No, but I got super lucky with The Covenant that I got that, because number one, Guy Ritchie's been one of my favorite directors since day one. I used to walk around FIU and study in the Green Library with listening to the Snatch soundtrack. So, like, it's sort of funny when people talk about manifestation and how you do it purposefully. And I think sometimes you can do it without even realizing it. Because at the time that I would watch Snatch and watch all his movies, and I was a real cinephobe, I had no idea that I was going to go into acting. And when I listened to the Snatch soundtrack, I would imagine myself in these movies. And then fast forward 13, 14 years, like, I'm in Alicante, Spain, shooting a Guy Ritchie movie. And having these incredible moments on set with Jake Gyllenhaal, another actor I've admired my whole life. And you're having moments where guys coming up to you and say, you know what, fucking say it like this and say that, and then just fuck off. You know, he just come up with a line on the spot, and then boom, you'd have a scene. And I'm like, you know, you have these moments where I think when you're starting off acting, you're like dreaming to get to those spots, and you get there and you sort of have to, you know, you want to be your best. And it's not so much like, oh my God, I'm here, but you're less like, fuck it, I'm here. Let's do this. Let's be the best we can be, and let's be on point and awesome. And then once it's over, you're like, oh my God, I just did that. I worked with Guy Ritchie, and then to be asked to come back and do another film with him, and this time it was with Jake Gyllenhaal, Henry Cavill, and Asa Gonzalez. I mean, three megastars. And oh my God, what's her name? I love her, and she's incredible. Did you see Saltburn?
Yes, I did.
The mother.
Rosamund Pike,
who's in it. She's amazing. I mean, it was just incredible to do it again. So it's like just every day I pinch myself when I think about it. And just like, I'm super grateful. But I think there is a power. There is power in manifesting your reality, mm-hmm. and what you want. And of course, everything is always going to go your way, depending on the luna y la estrella, you know. But when you, I think when you put like action, and like real positive manifestation and thought, and I think a part of that is not just wishing it for yourself, but everyone around you, you know, like, right. like Jason said that time, what he said to the casting director and what he told his agents, he's like, there's room for everyone, you know?
Right.
This morning I had a chat with my buddy, another Miami actor. You got to talk to Alex Barrios. We went to middle school together too. And he was on the new show Griselda. And we were talking about that, and we were always championing each other. And I think when you have purposeful manifestation about what you want, these things can happen. I think, and that's really taught me to sort of the power and really kind of seeing yourself there before you're even there. And that's, I feel that's how the Guy Ritchie thing happened, because like I had sort of dreamed of it even before I was acting, and here, there I was. So that movie comes out hopefully at the end of this year, the new one that I did. That was another great time, and it was fun. I got to like have a whole character look, completely grew a ginormous beard, shaved my head. It was awesome. It was just such a fun time, man.
You know, I want to ask you something because again, I do very minimal prep for these interviews, and then as we're talking, the questions start to come to me.
Yeah.
You know, you seem like a very positive person, which I fucking love, right? Like I don't think you can be a successful person in any category being negative. I just don't think that's possible, yeah. Right? I mean, sometimes you can fail upwards, agree. But I don't think that's possible. But I do want to ask you though, you know, again, as a Miami kid, right? You know, Cuban American and you know, Guy Ritchie sets, and now, you know, Halo. I mean, these are you know, Jake Gyllenhaal, budgets, names, etc. You know, do you ever feel that you know, that cliched imposter syndrome? You know,
I was about to say, are you talking about imposter syndrome?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think every time. I think. Because like,
how do you overcome it? I guess the follow up would be that, you know.
I think there is imposter syndrome because it's sort of like, you know, but I think a lot of it too is whenever you get successful in something like that and you get something really good, you're sort of like, am I supposed to be here? But it's not so much myself. It's because I feel like that's what the industry has made Latinos feel like.
Okay.
Like I feel like. My whole beef with the industry is like for so many years, the only auditions I would get was to be a Miguel or Carlo, the narcos, drug dealer, henchman, or like the pool boy, sort of like these minimal roles. America Ferrera spoke about it like in one of her speeches, which I think was incredible. And you have this feeling of like, I grew up watching movies with my grandpa because he moved from Cuba. And that's how he learned to speak English, right? A big part of it. So we would watch Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. We would watch, you know, Mel Gibson, all the Lethal Weapons. So you grow up in Miami, which I think growing up in Miami is beautiful because you don't grow up thinking you're the other.
Right.
It's such a, you grow up as, you know, as a Latino, which you're Cuban, Colombian, whatever, it doesn't matter. We all celebrate in Miami. And you grow up like, no, I'm American. You know, right. I happen to be Cuban. And when you move out of Miami, you realize in LA, I'm like, oh my God. You know, I moved there when I was 27. I'm like, it was my first time. And luckily to say this, because a lot of people feel it from a youth. That was the first time I felt what like racism felt like what being the other felt like.
Yeah. You were othered.
Second class citizen. And I was like, holy shit. Like the first 6 months of LA and I started working at a restaurant. I was like, decaído. Like every day I'd come home from work. Like fucking A. And so like, I grew thick skin, which you have to do. Yeah. And you learn how to deal with it. But that's my gripe with the industry is that, you know, it's so hard to see myself. Now I'm seeing it more and more with Pedro Pascal, Oscar Isaac. These guys are, you know, they're so many people paved the way before them. But they're sort of this new Hollywood star that are Latino, that speak Spanish, you know, that you could see yourself in those roles.
And they're celebrated for being that.
Yeah, they're seller. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like that to me pumps me up. Like I'm like, oh, I could be a Pedro Pascal, you know, like I can be those kind of characters. But I think sometimes when you get to these certain roles, it almost like I don't feel like I haven't deserved it or haven't worked hard to be there. But almost like, yeah, I feel like the industry itself has made me feel like, am I supposed to be here? But then that's a quick moment and just like, you know, fuck it, go with it. Like just. Use that power, use the energy, and use the momentum to get the next thing. But I think, yeah, I think all the time you're just sort of a lot of it's, you know, you could be talented. There's so many talented people out there, and there's so many talented people that quit because they just it's hard, and you're like, you know what, like I just can't keep on, and it's hard. There's moments where you're just like, Jesus, I got all these callbacks. I was on hold. For weeks for this job, and then I get called, and then you know you don't get it, and you're like, it's very exhausting. It's sort of, but it is the life you choose when you choose to do it. But say again.
Nadie te engañó. Like you know this.
Exactly. You know it. You know what it is, and it can get tough. But I think, yeah, I think the imposter syndrome sometimes is just so much more like, God, I'm so lucky I got this role. Like, because I know that there's so many people that could have gotten it and I got it. So you just have to like celebrate the wins, man, and not get caught up on like what you didn't get, what you could have gotten. Celebrate the wins. You know, those are important.
Yeah. So, you know, in talking about celebrating, let's talk about, you know, as of the airing of this episode, Halo season 2 will have started.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that even in a post future apocalyptic thing, there's still Latinos. You know, our culture was not stamped out by the bug creatures in Halo. That's nice. You know, again, Cubans, we are the Latino roaches. We're everywhere. So good luck, space creatures. but, you know, so, I mean, everything you've done so far has felt a little more, you know, grounded in reality. And now you're in Halo, which is, you know, this, it's a huge hit. It's on Paramount Plus. And it is a CGI extravaganza, right? Like,
yeah, it's unreal.
What is that? Like, how does that wrap in your head, right? After going from, you know, Guy Ritchie's known for very grounded in reality movies, right? Like, let's just use that as the example. And now you're standing on a green screen, I'd imagine, for most of the day.
Yeah, well, that Halo and Silo. And Silo, both. I have two that are like super CGI. But what's cool about Halo, what I'll say, there is a lot of green screen, obviously, because aliens, you know, whether they exist or not, they're not on the show.
Yeah,
it's
not the ones that were at Bayside a couple months ago.
No, not those. No. These are unionized. They're a part of SAG. it's incredible. But what was really cool is that as much as there is CGI, they use a lot of practical effects. Like the explosions and things like that are real. Like you're in them. Like there's a war going on and you see stuff flying by and shrapnel and stuff. I mean, that's real. So it kind of, when you're shooting, it does help you with the reality of the situation. Right. It's not like you're like, oh, ow, no, you're getting hit by stuff. So that was immensely cool. And sort of same thing with Silo. I will say in Halo, the character I play is more grounded to Earth. And I think a very beautifully grounded character who has beautiful relationship.
You mentioned it's a gay character, again, which is, again, why you're going to be the second Grand Marshal of the Westchester Pride Parade.
There you go. Just based on my characters alone, I love it. It's a gay character. He's a healer. He's very grounding. And he sort of has helped, you know, I won't get too far into it, but he's kind of sort of helped one of these soldiers along the way, and he's trying to help them, but from a very kind of spiritual level. You know, these Spartans on the show, they're like, you know, man-made machines, and everything is sort of poking and prodding and taking all these things, but he comes from a very spiritual place of healing. So it's sort of beautiful. So, and although it is crazy CGI and a sci-fi, that character is really grounded in reality, and I love that. Whereas Silo, it's completely a sci-fi. It's completely a thriller sci-fi. The characters believe in the world they're in, and that's actually really, really cool. Because that one, I get to play a total character, and I think I like that so much more. I think when I can hear my own voice and feel like myself, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I don't want to play Cristian Ochoa like on screen. I want to play like Urraro, like something, you know, something to get. That's fun for me, but yeah, it's really unique and interesting, man.
Yeah, I'm just loving the fact that, you know, based on what you're saying, I'm just going to say it. There's Balalaos in Halo based on what you're telling me. Based on what you're telling me about your character. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's tremendo Balalao. He, you know, he's un padrino. You just go to him for whatever you need. You need some agua bendita. You need some caragoles, you know, whatever he's got. Un poquito back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Halo's version of a botanica would look like, but it's a lot of essential oils.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, I'll tell you that. I won't spoil, but it's really cool.
I love it. You know, I just wanted to bring something up really quick because you brought up Pedro Pascal, and again, on your IMDb, and it could be wrong. I mean, I don't know what kind of like elves update these things sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But is it true that you did the voice for the Mandalorian in a pinball game?
Yeah, in a video, Star Wars pinball. It has it's been going on for years, and they always update it. And this was a new VR version of it. Uh-huh. And I did the voice of the Mandalorian. Yeah, I did.
All right.
Exciting because I love Star Wars.
As you should. I love Pedro
Pascal. But I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So Pedro Pascal, you owe your career to Christian because that that pinball game came out before your show, and I'm going to charge you with basically copying what he's doing. Okay, come at me. This is, you know, I got to stick up for my Miami boys. All right. So no.
I love that. But disclaimer, no, it did come after season one. I was copying him. I was trying to do my best, Pedro Pascal. Thank you for the backup and support, but you know, I gotta keep it real.
You know what? No, my story's better. We're gonna go with that. Listen, we all know facts don't matter anymore. Reality subjective. I'm just gonna put it out there and we're gonna follow that narrative starting today.
Fuck it, I'm following it with you.
Oh, man. Like You have so much going on, and I can't say this enough. You know, one of the things that we love championing here is when, you know, Miami peeps do good, whatever that falls under, right? And you're the epitome of that, man. Like, you know, I love just kind of knowing you before we even met, quote unquote, right? Like via social. You always just gave off good vibes. There was something about you that gave off good vibes. And now that I've talked to you, I get it. I see it. I know it's not.
Likewise.
I know it's not a PR team on socials, right? Like it's you. This is who you are. And to see your success, just, you know, there's a certain, I always say this about people who especially are from Miami. I feel like a certain like pride by proxy in seeing you succeed. Because I know where you come from, right? We're a couple years apart, but I could see us just having hung out at somebody's quinces or maybe I was at Eating House when you were the waiter, you know, just something like that. Like you're
probably was, yeah.
You know, you're just somebody who I feel like could have just very easily been like my cousin, you know, and so watching you succeed to the degree that you have is fucking awesome, and I know you're already succeeding, but I know there's still so much fucking more out there for you, and it's going to just keep happening. Man. Like I get it, you know.
Fingers crossed.
No, but I don't have to. I don't have to cross my fingers for it, man. You know, you've got a positive outlook. You're talented, but again, I go back to what I said earlier about the fact that, you know, we're here talking about you, and you took the opportunity to be like, no, let's stop for like 10 minutes now so I can talk about how awesome other people are. Those are the type of people who I feel make it in the long run, in life. I mean, forget about, you know, the career, like in life you make it because you can't make it on your own, you know, and
I've tried, you know, I've done that to a point sometimes. I mean, speaking honestly, where you kind of feel like you have to seclude yourself and you sort of have to feel like you got to do it on your own. And, you know, but then, you know, the older you get, you realize you're only as powerful as, you know, the people around you. And, you know, yeah, it's so important. I think it's so funny that you brought that up, that you pride by proxy. I don't know if it's a Miami thing specifically, but I feel it. There's something to that salsa de Miami people, that we do have such a pride for where we come from, I celebrate like every time I see someone from Miami balling out, whatever it is, like you said, I'm so happy. Like, it makes me so happy to be a part of that culture. And likewise with you guys, like I love seeing what you're doing and your growth and keeping it real and talking about home and bringing back, like giving me that slice of home. It means the world to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Next time you're here, I know, again, hashtag booked and blessed. I know you're working. You don't have a chance to come home, you know, a lo largo as you would like. Cause I know I've lived away from Miami too. When you come con el tiempo contado, it's like, boom, boom, no. Boom, boom, boom. You're here for 3 days, and it's almost like scheduled within a minute
people,
of itself.
People tell me, they're like, listen, I won't tell anybody that you're here. Porque se ponen bravo. Oye, I have family members que se ponen bravo encabronado conmigo. And I'm like, listen, I was here for a couple days. I can't do it. It's super, you know, a lot of it too is just I want to see my niece and my nephew, and I want to spend as much time with them. And that's what it is, really. I'm like, I don't want to take away from them. But yeah, no, we'll do it probably at Eating House.
Okay. All right, done.
Captain Crunch pancakes.
So, all right, so we're penciling in the Eating House brunch is what I'm hearing. All right, cool. And because you're former Eating House, I totally expect you to have some off-menu items that we can order that they would make just for you.
Yeah, for sure. If you know, if they don't have that calentado, I'm going to demand that calentado. Like, I have to have that. The, what did they used to have? El guayaba con queso torrejas they used to have?
Those are so
torrejas.
Good. Oh my God!
Yeah, they still do those.
They no, so they do sometimes like they'll have like a throwback brunch menu, where they'll do some of those items sometimes. But yeah,
it's the best. I'll never forget the first brunch we did at the end of it. We hadn't tried all the food, we hadn't tried it. We just kind of launched it. It was the first Sunday we ever did, and at the end, her name is Adriana Egosque. We call her Lip, and she was a chef. They did her in Georgia. They cooked the whole staff everything on the menu. They made like two or three of each, like family style,
right.
And we sat down to eat. I'll never forget the first time I tried the Captain Crunch pancakes. I'm like, this is like
so good.
I'm like, this is gonna be, this is the one.
Like, it should
and
be
it was little. It got super famous, and oh my God, I dream about those all the time. But that's what we'll do. No more dreaming, we're gonna make it happen. We're gonna words into action.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. Oye, again, thank you so much for sitting down with us. I mean, I had initially put, you know, half an hour. We're almost at 50 minutes now, and that's not even and that's not even including the pre-interview chat you and I had too. So, like, thank you so much for you know, giving of your time.
Of course. Are you kidding me? Anytime, man. Anytime. Much love to you guys.
Thanks, brother. Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Llano, produced by Ismael Llano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michael Angelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.